Blog
Driver.
And this is Bill Kennedy, one of the last Voices for American Reason list.
Today's March 18, 2010. Hey, Bill, I'm gonna tell you a little story here. I'm gonna vent for a few minutes. But what's going on is I got a phone call last night, about 8 o'clock, 8:30, somewhere around there. And as you know, I go to bed early so I can get up, go to work. I have to be at work at 3:30, but that's immaterial. What happened was I got a phone call about some stuff going on downtown in Oceanside with our favorite guy. And seems that he pulled someone over that we know. And I'm not going to mention any names right now. But told him to take off his helmet. And when he told him no, put the cuffs on him. Took the helmet off after he cuffed him.
The police took the helmet off.
Correct. He wanted to make a phone call. And he told him, no, hang up the phone. So he handed the phone to his girlfriend, and they wrestled it from her. I guess they hurt her wrist or something in the process, and they hung up the phone. But what he was trying to do was he was trying to call somebody. I guess he had somebody else's bike he borrowed,
mm-hmm.
And he ended up getting a helmet ticket. So did she. But that was after he forcibly took the helmet off the man's head. And when he tried to talk and say things, basically what happened was Officer Dickhead decided he's going to do what he wanted to do, and that was the end of it. So he went to listen to the Voice of Reason or anything like that. And
let me stop there a second. Did the lady, she take her helmet off, or did they, how'd that go?
You know, I forgot to ask that question, Bill,
okay.
But
we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Because I know you're putting facts and figures together.
Correct. And So it's like I said before, when we had that rapport with the city, we went down and we talked to those guys, and really they didn't have to talk to us. And we made a deal. Basically, we made a deal that as long as it wasn't a football helmet or a baseball cap, you could wear anything you wanted in this town.
And the city would stop wasting its time and our tax dollars.
Absolutely. Now, it appears that the gentleman involved has his own agenda. So this morning, I talked to this person, and I told him what I was going to do, and I called, and I left a message for the internal affairs guy, and he called me right back, and he said, well, we're playing phone tag, because I was up on the ship. So when he called me back, I talked to him, and he asked me what the call was for, and I explained it to him. He said, let me do a little investigating, and I'll get back to you. So the other two, he tried to get a hold of one officer. Then he tried to get a hold of the sergeant that was involved. And it turned out to where the gentleman did what I told him. He asked for a supervisor. Numbnuts leans over and says, there he is. That's my supervisor. So when he tried to talk to him, usually at that point, everything should stop.
That's right.
Everything should stop. Whatever he's doing stops while he talks to that guy. I guess it didn't happen that way. And
were these motorcycle cops or then the patrol car?
No. Old boy's in a car.
Okay.
See,
I want to know.
Okay. Remember now when I got the letter stating that if I wanted to know what action was taken with the officer, I would have to get a court order.
Right.
Okay.
They protect their own.
Correct. Conrad was here the other day. He's my attorney. And he did a couple of things. And he got the court order. They sent it to him. They got 10 days to respond. I have today, tomorrow, and Monday. And then Tuesday, I get to see what happens. They're violating the judge's order to let me see what happens. In the meantime, I get told today that I asked, because I've seen Shiko in a car. There, I said who it is. But I seen him in a car. And I pulled up next to him at the light. I told you, he almost ripped the steering wheel off when he was sitting there, you know? So I find out today that, yes, his service was terminated as a motor officer. Not that his time was up or anything like that. His service on a bike was terminated.
That hits him in the wallet, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Okay. So now, you think after all that happened, all the conversations we had, because I brought this up to this guy, and I said, did we or did we not in that room agree that you were going to follow the CHP memorandum that states, unless they were wearing a football helmet or a baseball cap, it didn't matter what you had on your head.
And you would not get pulled over if the probable cause was only
the
questionable helmets.
That's right.
All right. Correct
okay,
that
now,
for you.
So we're gonna get into that here in a minute. The thing that irritated the shit out of me was the fact that he's in a car now, so now he's throwing his weight around in the car. Okay? And like I said, I seen him. I thought he was gonna rip the steering wheel off when he seen me after I told him have a nice day and I drove away. But what they're gonna do is I asked him, I said, is there any way we can get this guy in a room with me and you and sit down and find out what the root cause to this problem is? Okay? It's like I told you, I was gonna ask him that day, did a guy in a bike fuck your old lady? Is that why you're so pissed off?
Perhaps a better choice of semantics here.
Well,
maybe.
No,
you
because,
know what? No, I wanna know.
Okay.
You know?
But
we're gonna stay positive, you know?
Gotta stay positive. So that was my train of thought.
Our goal is to win.
Right now we're winning.
You win.
Okay? Because one, he's not on a bike.
Right.
The other guy that was with him isn't on a bike. I don't know if he's in the same car with him. He was in the car with him that day when I saw him. And then now we got two other guys involved in this. Okay? Now, they were told at their watch meeting or, you know, before they leave the station to go out on their watch or patrol or whatever you want to call it, about what the meeting was and what was supposed to be done. Well, the words that I got today were, people, you know, if people act one way, they're only human, they're going to act the same way, okay?
Right.
But when you're hiding behind color of authority, you're absolutely fucking wrong doing what you're doing.
And we're using selective enforcement here again.
Exactly. It boils down to this guy's just doing selective enforcement. So I hung up, I let him do, he called me back, and he told me. And he told me about the car, and he told me about the service on the bike and all that. And basically, he's going to talk to him in the next few days, within a week to 10 days, as he told me today. And I wholeheartedly believe this guy because he's totally sincere on the phone. Now, when he talked to the gentleman we're going to talk to in a few minutes, okay, he told him the same thing. He told me when I talked to him, I understood him. I seen it. I seen the passion and dedication in his eyes, the way he carried himself, the way he talked about it. And then he told me about some other questions he asked me. And he said to me, he said, you know, I don't know which one of you guys said it. And I said what? And he said, well, you know, when I was a homicide detective in Oceanside, and you remember, you know. I said, well, are you going to the discriminatory stops you're talking about in the selective enforcement? And he goes, well, kind of along the same lines. And I said, how is that? And he goes, one, to me, if I hear red, that's blood. If I hear blue, that's Crips. You know the murder rate in Oceanside, how it was a few years ago. And maybe, just maybe, these guys are taking it upon themselves, if they see something or they want to investigate something, they're making the stop. Again.
We have to have probable cause, though.
You cannot just pull people over.
It goes back to that.
Maybe
their intentions are good. I'll give them granted that maybe. But they still are outside the bounds. You don't have probable cause. You cannot just pull a biker over. Even if you're going to give me this crap about, well, we're trying to check everything out, you have no right to stop people. It goes back to that.
That's correct. So, like you said, you give me a week, 10 days, and I'll talk to this officer, And I'll talk to the other two officers because I couldn't get a hold of them today. And we'll see if we can all sit down and talk about this. Okay, fine. So I agreed to that. So now, a couple hours go by. I'm coming up out of the hole, and I hear my phone ring. And it's him again, and he asked me another question, a couple of questions, and I answered him. And then he asked me, he says, you know, can we go back to that red and white thing? And I said, what are you talking about, red and white? He said, well, I keep hearing this red and white, you know, from the guys here around there, this and that. What is the red and white? I said,
yeah.
I said, it's two colors to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm not going to tip my hand.
It's not a bit.
If he's an investigator.
We're talking apples. We're not going to switch the subject to oranges. We're going to stay with apples.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where the conversation ended. Right. And that's where he reassured me again that he was going to talk to.
The two gentlemen question.
The three gentlemen question.
Okay.
And get some answers and then get back to me. And he also stated that he can't force the guy to sit down and talk to us, but he's going to talk to him and tell him, hey, what is the problem, okay? Because he already knows, because he asked me if I was a member of Bikers of a Lesser Tolerance. And I said, where did you get that from? He said, well, we've heard some things. I said, well, I've heard some things too. I hope they were good. And he said, well, I hope the ones you heard about us were good. I said, as for you, sir, you're excellent. I have much respect for you and the job that you hold for what you do. I said, the other guy, I have a little respect for him.
They're hiding behind the wall of blue and the wall of silence and all
exactly.
That stuff, that thin blue line.
Exactly.
No, they're covering for each other. The point is, though, that we, the American bikers, are not going to sit there and be picked off left and right without going down with a hell of a bang, a hell of a bit of noise. And if you have no right to pull people over, then we need to address that situation. Then it's time for you and I to go back to playing a... No more Mr. Nice Guy again. Explain to us why you are doing this. I think that's, it's going to be a pain in the ass doing this. I don't like going back down there. I know you like going down there, but I'd rather we do it and at least voice our opinion than have people sit and do nothing about it. Maybe we can stop it. We stopped it once, didn't we?
Right.
Stop it again.
We'll stop it again. So.
Now, the X factor here I don't know is that the gentleman and the lady pulled over. We got to talk about their attitude because I don't know these people. I don't know the attitude, so I'm hoping that they were to maintain some form of professionalism or else the case gets somewhat deteriorated.
Right.
Bottom line is, though, if they get pulled over because of the helmets, the police shouldn't have pulled them over at all.
Correct.
But we need to point out to everybody again, you can't go off half-cocked. It makes our case weak.
That's correct.
Makes their case weak. All of our cases weak.
That's correct.
You've got to be professional about this here or else they're not going to give us time in there fighting it there. We don't fight it, they'll keep going. We have to stop this. There comes a point in the time and you got to draw a line in the sand and say, not on my watch, not any longer.
That's true, and that's how this all started. So what I'm going to do, Bill, is I'm going to bring in, we have a caller. I'm going to bring it in and see who this is because I'm waiting for another call. So it's, hello, how are you?
Bill Kennedy, hello?
Hello, are you there? Caller. I guess
no.
Not. Somebody's just listening then. But the thing is, Bill, is these guys.
The police department? What?
Yeah.
Who's called in?
No. yeah. FBI. ATF. I got something for them I'll play later. But,
Okay, we got to go back to the fact that everybody out here, too many people are waiting for Screwdriver and I to do things. We're not cops. We're not lawyers. We're not paralegals. We're just two guys in here. You people out there, you have to help us. If you want us to get involved, you have to remain professional. You don't have to put up with anything. You know, I never say yes sir or no sir to anything in my life. These officers are not my friends. I don't need new friends. You have to help us, though, by maintaining professionalism. If the cops go over the line, we have to fight it. If you come across with F this and F that, it weakens our case. It weakens your case. I know I'm asking you to suck it up a little bit, but if we're going to fight them, we got to fight them where it wins. Our goal is at least to stop this. We have a caller online now. Who's online?
Hello.
Caller?
Hello.
Yeah, you there?
Hello. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as we talked earlier, you can say who you are if you want. You can say where it happened if you want. You can basically say anything you want. So if you want to start from the beginning and let everybody know what's going on.
Let me start for a second. We want to bring the officers' names in here until we get this thing all resolved.
No.
I'm going to ask you to refrain from using that.
I'm the only one that'll do that because
yes,
I'm
not you, call the police.
Not you. Okay? You can say Leo 1, Leo 2, Leo 3, however you want to say it, but don't say the names yet. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
So go ahead and tell us how this all started, please.
Tell us from Jump Street.
From the get-go, me and my girlfriend were riding down Mission in Oceanside. Proceeded to come to a stop sign, and there was a cop sitting there at the corner. He had seen me before even.
Do me a favor. Turn down the sound.
Gotcha.
We're getting feedback. All right.
There's an officer sitting there at the corner at the stop sign, and before I even got there, he started flipping out his ticket book and staring right at me. When I finally did get to the stop sign, he ended up tapping on his head, and I didn't know what he was gesturing at, and then he told me to pull over, and he said, that's not the DOT helmet. So you sure about that? He goes, I am absolutely 100% positive that is not a DOT helmet. He said, I'm an expert at the California helmet law. I'm an expert if there's expert. Tester, witness, all this stuff that he was starting spitting out there. I proceeded to pull over where he told me to, and I said, can I park in a legal spot? And he said, no, go ahead and park right here, which was next to a fire hydrant in the red curb zone. He went ahead and said, okay, I need you to go ahead and remove your helmet so I can check it and do an inspection on it. You're the DOT expert. You just told me it wasn't. Give me my ticket so I can go. Didn't end up working out that way. He ended up telling me, he's like, all right, well, go ahead and just give me the helmet. I told him, I apologize, but I refuse to give you the helmet. No, it's not a request. You're going to give me the helmet. No, I'm not. I'm not giving you the helmet. It's a violation of my Fourth Amendment. You're doing an unreasonable search and seizure of my personal effects and belongings. Well, if you don't give me the helmet, then I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to arrest you, take you to jail, and I'm going to impound your bike. I said, no, I don't consent to any of that whatsoever.
Okay,
I really don't
That was the scare tactic at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
At that point in time, he ended up saying, okay, well, I want you to go ahead and get off the bike. I said, okay, I'll do that. I said, I'd like to call the owner up of the vehicle and have him come down and pick up the bike since it's his. And you're arresting me, you're going to take me to jail. Said, no, you're not going to call anybody. And I said, yeah, I'm going to call the owner. So I took the cell phone out of my front pocket. I wasn't going inside of my vest or anything of the sort. I just took it out of my front pocket, proceeded to call him. He started approaching with two other gentlemen, two other officers, and next thing you know, he's demanding, you're going to hang up the phone now. We don't need you calling anybody. Like, I just want to call the person so you don't impound the bike. I don't consent to you impounding it. Well,
the reason didn't want you to call anybody was they don't want a group there. They figure you're calling in the troops.
Cole,
yeah,
I got to say, there was three officers approached, two cars, or how did they all get there?
There was all three of them actually ended up there on foot. There was three cop cars across the street parked. There was another one on the adjacent corner parked, and there was another one catty corner that one parked. It was a three-way intersection. The other side's a movie theater. Pretty much every street there, the cop car. There's about five cop cars there total, I think. Five to
well,
six.
Well, basically, what he was doing was standing at the stop sign making selective stops.
Exactly, because
okay.
he was just standing there with the ticket book in his hand, just looking around. When I handed the phone over to my girlfriend, I proceeded to tell her, you know, have the owner come pick up the bike. That's when another officer stepped in and grabbed her by the arm or by the hand and started prying the cell phone from her fingers. And we were in a previous motorcycle accident, and she has some issues with her hand. And pried it out of her hand to the point where it started hurting her. She was in pain. I turned around and I said, you know, what are you doing? You know, she's not a fourth waiver. I'm not a fourth waiver. You're taking personal effects from our own bodies. You can't be doing that. Yeah, another Fourth Amendment violation right there. You know. And I turned around and went back to the other cop, and I said, this is getting ridiculous when I'm playing these stupid games. You know, well, what's going on? He's like, well, you don't want to give me your helmet, so I'm gonna put you under arrest. So he put me in handcuffs, sat
okay,
me down.
When did you ask for a supervisor?
Actually, it was right before I got handcuffed. I told him I wanted to speak to either a watch commander, an SOG or something of the sort. And that's when the the second or the third officer step forward and say, well, I'm that person, I'm the supervisor. And this is okay with what he's doing? You're okay with what he's doing right now? And he proceeded to take a step back and just go ahead and give you the initial officer the green light to go ahead and do whatever he was going to do. At that point in time, I ended up getting put in handcuffs, and I was sitting down on the side of the road right in front of a restaurant. And he ended up getting a flashlight going around my helmet, took the helmet off of me, told him at that point in time, I don't consent to any of this of what you're doing. Took the helmet from me, started taking pictures of it, took pictures of the inside of the helmet, the back of the helmet, sides, whatnot. Took pictures of her helmet, took it from her as well. Then they went ahead and gave her a citation and dismissed her, let her go. But he made both of the tickets were non-correctable offenses.
They are correctable.
Yeah, exactly. They're correctable.
Unless he put in the word safety, there's a little gray area there because it has to be determined by when you go to get the ticket signed off. It has to be cleared by a competent person.
Caller, when they took the phone away from your passenger, and did they ask your passenger to take her helmet off, or did she take it off voluntarily, or did she keep it on the whole time?
She had taken it off. They weren't going after her for anything, so she had kind of stepped aside and took it off but kept it on her possession. And they had walked up and said, you know, give us your helmet or you're going to go to jail too, plain and simple. And at that point in time, she kind of just had it in her hand and was just sitting there staring at him. Didn't give him a yes or no, and he just walked up and grabbed it and took it out of her hand. It wasn't a fight that she could put into it. Like I said, previous motorcycle accident, there wasn't going to be very much, you know, fighting going on.
Who took control of the telephone? Did she keep the phone? They took it away from her physically.
They took it away from her physically. I mean, they grabbed her by an officer grabbed her wrist and then with his other hand started prying her fingers off of it.
Okay, at that point, was she under arrest?
No, she still wasn't under arrest. She wasn't being questioned or anything. I was the only person being questioned at that point in time.
You never had your rights read to you. They just said they were going to place you under arrest, but did not. They handcuffed you, had you sit down, and physically took your helmet off. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay, and that's when you found out about the PC code, 148.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. A delay of process or something of the sort, which I
Correct.
Hope you educated.
Correct.
He ended up coming back and saying, you know, well, are you willing to sign your citation? I said, yeah, I never said I wasn't willing to sign the citation. You were asking me to give up my helmet, and since you asked me, I told you no. And then after that, you proceeded to demand it, and I'm not going to give you anything at that point in time. And, you know, I told him, I never said I wasn't going to sign the citation. I'll be more than happy to sign it. Give me the ticket, and I'll be on my way. That was it from the get-go. If you don't like my helmet, give me my ticket so I can leave.
The best thing for you and the worst thing for them is, A, you did not give up your helmet. B, they took it from you. That was the best thing for you and the dumbest thing they could have done right there.
He tried to say that he was an expert, tester, witness, and all this stuff, and was trying to educate me and school me up on the helmet laws and that their department doesn't fall under the jurisdiction of the Highway Patrol. They don't have to abide by the memorandum that they put out, the memorandum 209.
That's where he's wrong, okay? Where he's wrong. Whether he said he took a day off, he didn't get the memo, he's wrong. And we're gonna take care of that problem.
The important thing is the argument was not with you and the officer. The argument was with you, the courts, and his supervisor. You did the right thing by stating your case without getting into an argument. Did you keep your temper under control? Did you keep your language basically under control?
For the most part, I did. I never raised my voice and started yelling or anything or getting irate or getting my hands above my waist and, you know, flailing them about or anything of the sort. I never ended up doing that, but it was when they started putting their hands on my girlfriend is when I started getting a little bit irritated at that point.
Defensive. Yeah. You become defensive, correct.
Exactly, you know, but I wasn't getting irate and cussing up a storm or anything of the sort. I was just making my stand and making it known that I'm not stupid of what's going on and what you're doing is wrong here.
And you're an American citizen in an American city under American rights.
Yeah.
You're a veteran, aren't you, by the way?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I remember somebody saying that about
What's that?
I remember someone telling me you were a veteran. I want to acknowledge that to everybody. Veterans,
yes,
done his service for his country, an American citizen, an American city, riding down and being harassed by the police department. No, boys and girls, this has got to stop.
And it's only one guy, Bill, and we're going to take care of that. The situation with this gentleman is when we had the meeting with the internal affairs guy, and you're getting firsthand knowledge here because we're going to tell you the whole story on how this happened, okay? We went in there. We talked to these guys, okay? There's an article floating around that I wrote about what happened. And if you haven't had a chance to read it yet, I'm sure that individual I told you to talk to will let you read it. When we left that room that day, before we left, we agreed they're going to follow the CHP memorandum to the letter. Unless you're wearing a football helmet or a baseball cap, which I've ridden around on Saturdays, on Sundays, during the week, with a baseball cap on, even with no helmet on, and have not got a ticket yet, okay? Because they know it's going to be more trouble than it's worth, which is where we're going to get you to with a little schooling, okay? But when we left that room that day, that's what we agreed to, as well as the discriminatory stops during the safety checkpoints, which all they're going to check for, unless your bike looks totally illegal, all they were going to check for was to make sure your driver's license, proof of insurance, and registration is on you. Because any time that you ride a motorcycle or drive your car, you have to have your driver's license in your possession, current insurance for that vehicle, and your registration up to date. Those were the only three things that they agreed with us that they were going to stop everything else, including the heavy hitter clubs or any club that rides through town, get something to eat, gas, whatever, take a piss, whatever they wanted to do. As long as they were not causing any trouble, they weren't going to bother anybody. And then comes the white knight on the blue horse who thinks he's God's gift or whatever, and he's going to do what he wants to do.
Caller, did they ask for your ID, registration, insurance card? Did they verify any of that?
They did. They asked for all three of it. It was a friend's bike that I was using at the time. Mine was on a rack getting some work done. I had my M1 endorsement, my identification card, and gave that to him. I didn't have the registration or insurance paperwork on me. I know that they can pull it up on their computer. They can run the license plates and see if it's registered or not.
But at that point, they had you by the noggin, so they were going to do what they wanted to do because you didn't have
yeah.
it.
Exactly.
You have to keep a copy of that, even though, as you just stated, when they do a search on you, before they red light you, they know all that information, but you do have to keep that with you. Not that that means anything, because that was not a valid stop. The probable cause was the helmet, but just the future, you got to keep that real by your finger side and all that.
So what we're going to do, this is what's going to happen, okay? I told you today what to do. You went down and you did it, and I thank you for that. Now, everything that you turned in, did they give you a copy and date and stamp it for you?
I'm getting all that done. I'm getting all that done still. I had to write up actually a couple different reports.
Okay.
And I was waiting for my girlfriend to get back so she can fill out hers.
Okay.
Just so I can get all that sent in first thing in the morning. Get it dated and stamped by the clerk or whichever badge is behind the desk.
That's correct. They'll walk in the little room off to the left and they'll stick it in the thing and it'll date, time, and stamp it for you. Okay. And then what I want you to do is make a copy of that for me and a copy of all what I told you today, everything that you have, okay?
Absolutely.
I talked to this guy today. I told him the lawsuit's done. We're just waiting for the hammer to drop. Well, the hammer's dropped because at the end of my story it says we'll see how long this lasts. Well, it's lasted 2 months and 19 days, okay? So that's where we're going to go now. Now they gave me ammo. Remember what I told you today? We got to be careful. If we fire one, two are going to come back. Well, now they fired the one, two are going their way now.
Yeah.
Okay? So just my best advice to you now is keep a low profile with those guys. Because what's going to happen is tickets you've gotten over the last few months, when you go to court, if you get pegged as an habitual offender, you're screwed.
Okay. I did go to court previously for the exact same thing, for the helmet.
Right. We talked about that last week on the show, okay? But what I'm telling you, listen to what I'm clearly telling you. If you get more tickets and you keep going to court and you get the same judge or the same commissioner, whoever it is, if they label you as an habitual offender, you're screwed. You won't have a leg to stand on because you're telling them you just don't give a shit and you're going to do what you want. You understand what I'm telling you?
Got it.
Basically, it's all against you. So the best thing we can try to do is show you how to do this so you're going to get resolved. Screwdriver goes into more detail, but he's got paperwork coming to you, and you guys are going to take care of that?
That's correct.
That's mostly Screwdriver's department. Yep. Carla, the only other thing I could think of is, I'm trying to be real practical about this, is maybe it's not you. Maybe it's your girlfriend. Is she an attractive girl?
Yeah,
take her out for a ride downtown with me and see if they pull me over. I would do that for you, caller.
You got to have a big enough
seat. Okay. Just check every, all the eggs screwed up.
So what I'm going to do,
get pulled over the most.
Exactly. Well, I'll be down there tomorrow after work. So I'll give you a call when I'm headed out from San Diego. But if you want, you can stay on the call and listen to what's going to happen here in the next couple minutes, okay? We're going to talk about something, and I think you should listen to this, okay?
All right, sounds good.
If there's a single wrong done, we have to stand up to it. But we need more people like yourself that want to say, hey, I think this is wrong. I know it's uncomfortable going to the police station. I know it's uncomfortable talking to these people. You have to stand up for your rights, and more and more people won't do it. So I appreciate what you're doing. I applaud what you're doing. I know it's not going to be easy, but hang with Screwdriver's advice. I think you're going to be okay, brother.
All right. Thank you, boss.
All right. So you can stay on the line. I'm going to bring somebody else in right now. And if you got any questions, you can say your name and that you have a question, okay?
All right.
All right.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Hello, RC.
Carl, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, RC, how you doing? It's Phillip.
It ain't RC, it's Rogue.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, my bust. How are you?
Good.
What do you want to talk about tonight?
Whatever you want.
Well, I was telling Bill about the Florida deal, and I noticed some cross-traffic in the last couple of days that they've asked for resignation. Can you elaborate on that, please?
I had heard from somebody. I really wasn't involved in it. That's just something that came over on the internet today. That I gather Doc Reinbeck was losing his patience again, which he has a bad habit of doing, and maybe physically put his hands on somebody. I believe RC or Mike Greenwald can answer that stuff better than I can.
Okay.
What I can tell you is there's something going on in Florida right now. A bill that's before the legislature. Everybody is pretty much in favor for enhancement bills when people are just driving stupid and injure or kill somebody. And we all pretty much think there should be some kind of penalty to that. Now, Greg Evers, which is a representative, filed a bill, number 875, and pretty much what it wants to do is increase the penalties for somebody causing a serious accident with bodily injuries and generates a $500 fine, a minimum of 30 days incarceration, and a mandatory driver improvement.
And that's for killing somebody, correct?
No, that's just for injuring somebody. Okay,
wow.
It goes up to a $1,000 fine, 90 days incarceration, and mandatory attendance in advanced driver improvements course and loss of license for a year. And when you first look at that, it sounds pretty good until you look at it a couple times. And then it goes back, once you realize what's happening here, the state of Florida, like a lot of places, needs money. They have already pilfered money from money, licensing fees and all kinds of other stuff. So now what they're doing is looking to make money on injury and death of people. A more realistic approach would be the money go to the victims as opposed to the state. What happens in some of these cases in the past where, like the red, when the red light bill was doubled, people that were involved in passing it later on got safety grants.
Right, they just tripled it out here.
Yeah, well, tripling the fine is one thing. It depends where the money goes. Now, everybody thinks motorcycle people are the richest people in the world, and these are expensive toys, and they can afford all this. That what some of them, they still consider them recreational vehicles instead of realizing that it is a very economical form of transportation for somebody. You know, maybe they're watching a couple of them television shows with the $50,000 and $200,000 motorcycles, but we all know the average guy don't have that kind of money. They're looking to come, the state, all the states are looking to come up with money so that the politicians can go out there and high roll and do all the rest of that. Somehow, it appears to be that the motorcycle people, they think is the golden goose. So, and then they get people that ride motorcycles to agree with them. We're going to have just safety campaigns, and we're going to teach people how to ride motorcycles, and we're going to do all that. What that basically does is teaching one person how to protect themselves against the person that's going to harm them. The way to really go is to go after the person committing the injury. Car drivers, truck drivers, four-wheel, you know, whatever, and put penalties on them, you know, because everybody thinks they can ride stupid.
Right.
So, anyways, I just really do not think that the state, any state, should profit off injury or death of people in these collisions, and, you know, really ought to look at doing something different about it. And when you have organizations that claim to be motorcycle rights or motorcycle organizations condoning this kind of action, I think that there's something seriously wrong with that.
This is Bill. Can you tell us which rights are condoning it, which organizations are pushing it for, against? What's going on in that area there?
Well, in our area, it's a Beta Florida, okay? They are in favor of this bill. It was introduced by Doc Reinbeck, who is the president of Abeta Florida and also the state's lobbyist, is saying that on their website is saying that he got together with Representative Evers, and this is their safety bill. So they are the one that's pushing this. And it's kind of hard for me to understand. You know, you're saying you're a motorcycle rights group. Why not look out for the victim? It doesn't seem, you know, maybe I'm reading this thing wrong. Somebody has to explain it to me. But, you know.
Mike's on the line. How about if I bring him in?
Sure.
Hello,
hey, Mike.
Caller.
Mike, you there?
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello.
How about trying
Mike,
RC? See if RC's there.
Oh, Betsy's here.
Hello, Betsy.
Hey, honey.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
Is it snowing up in Massachusetts?
No, but the ARC finally landed.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Mike,
hey.
You out there?
It's Mike.
Oh,
hi,
yeah.
Mike. How are you?
I'm good.
Mike,
hi, Betsy. Hi,
hey,
Bill.
Hey, Mike. How are you? Long time no talk to.
Well, I've been around.
Me too, honey.
Okay, go ahead,
we
Mike.
Have, I brought in one more caller. Can you identify yourself, please?
RC's on the line.
Okay. Betsy, I know you're on the line. Mike, I know you're on the line. Doc, I know you're on the line.
Rogue,
yeah,
Betsy.
Okay.
Let's get back to what's going to Florida. Mike, can you tell us a little bit what you think about why the bait pushing this program?
Well, Florida's got a problem, and pretty much the problem is, it's actually a bait is the problem with motorcycling in Florida, and I don't, you know, maybe that sounds screwed up, but what they're doing is they're trading off taxation or do-nothing bills for media press, for the politicians, and for Abate to look like they're accomplishing something when, in fact, what they're doing is they're either relinquishing money or relinquishing rights to the state. Now, to tie this in with what Rogue is saying, it would seem to me that in many cases of where a motorcyclist or a bicyclist or a pedestrian or another vehicle operator is injured in a crash, that the state should not profit from a fine that is levied on the perpetrator or the guilty party. And they
well,
should
basically
work as
that's
a broker.
The way it's going with everything, not just that. It's going that way.
Well,
with
they should work as a broker at best to the victim. In other words, it's like child support. Initially, with child support, when the courts went in and said, you know, we're going to garnish your wages if you don't pay your child support, they went ahead and said, oh, well, okay, that sounds good. Well, nowadays, what happens is whether or not the state collects the child support for a parent and the children, they pay it anyhow. And then they run up some kind of debt to whoever's supposed to be paying them. So really they're brokering money. And
excuse me, Mike, can you explain
yeah.
how to the guys how Abate of Florida benefits by partnering with these legislators on these bills?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
The way that the benefit happens is that once they have this working relationship with the group, Abate in this case, then
it's the good old boy
what
network.
What happens
working.
Is there is grant money available on a federal level to every state, and when there's a working relationship between a politician, in other words, okay, we can write this bill and make it a law where we get more tax money, and for that, we're going to help you apply for these grants.
Mike, can I cut in a minute?
Okay.
Going back 3-4 years, I'd have to go check the date exactly, but a red light bill, we were discussing vehicles making left-hand turns and being a major cause of collisions with motorcyclists. There is no feasible way, unless there is a collision, to enforce that. So Abate came up with the idea, Abate of Florida came up with the idea, is if they were to double, running a red light's pretty close. So we're going to double the fine for running a red light. The way that this thing worked out was the money, part of the money was going to go to the trauma centers. Part of the money went to the state of Florida for who knows what. At the end of that, in the Abate newsletter, it's the only way we knew about it, in the Abate newsletter, there was a picture of Doc, the legislator, and the governor, and them handing Doc a check for $1 million as a grant to promote safety. It gets kind of sticky after that because people went, well, what did you spend the money on, Doc? That was never really explained. And then in another newsletter, again, a bait newsletter, so, you know, they're saying, well, we really didn't get the $1 million. We sort of got it. Rumors are that they weren't handling it right, and it went back. They were allowed after that to draw against it. And any organization with a safety program, say, like the billboards, we want to put a billboard over here. They would apply into the state, and the state would put the billboard up. Since then, there have been other laws. In 2008, the motorcycle licensing fee was increased by $2. Myself and other people questioned why only motorcycles fee was raised, and we were told that the money was going to go towards education. The question at that time was, what happened to the money already in the fee that was to go to education? That was never answered. The bill got passed. In the beginning of the 2009, the very first thing that happened was the state took that money, even though there was supposed to be a stipulation that the money could not be used for anything else. They just changed their mind and took it. Abate did not come out and raise all kinds of hell for them taking that money. There is, again, stories and that they got a grant. This thing's really kind of hard to tell how much money they're getting from the state, because even members of the organization, when they ask that, are not given an answer.
It's shut down.
Well, yeah, Doc and his board. So, you know, people go, well, how come you don't know that? Well, you keep asking these questions. You go through your, the way the system is set up, you go to a chapter meeting, you discuss it. The delegates, two delegates, go to the state meeting. They start to bring it up. Doc or one of his security people will tell you, you're out of line. We're not going there. And you never get an answer. You know, that guy's just a troublemaker or whatever. So it's touchy at best. So what we've done is reverted to going to other sources like media, this radio show for one. Local publications, state publications, and try to ask the same kind of questions. And then when we get into incidents like happened in Daytona during Bike Week, where people were invited to speak at a freedom rally that just happened to be during Bike Week, and it was called Bike Week Freedom Rally. And Doc had a confrontation with RC and about things that I or other people might have said. My problem with that is, if you're listening to hearsay, we all know what the school kids do. You know, you tell somebody next to you, hey, I got a red ball. By the time it gets down to the end of the line, it's a purple apple or something, you know? And then Doc is well known for having a bad temper. And that doesn't seem the kind of person that should be running one of these organizations to me. So, back to Mike.
Mike, Bill Kennedy, does it seem like a lawyer has to get in here to get some answers?
Probably.
Get to this point, you think?
Probably.
Either that or
I don't know
security.
That a lawyer will necessarily get any straighter answers than anybody else.
You had something to say, Betsy?
Well, either that or Homeland Security. That's an
inside
joke.
There you go. Throw that out there again.
That's an
our lawyers.
Joke.
I'm sorry. A lawyer is not going to really be able to find out much. IRS investigated them and found out that they had a pretty clean audit, other than they were they'd rally off a motorcycle every year at the ABIC campground, and they failed to pay the taxes on that. However, there's question as to how much the IRS was able to look at, because Doc has repeatedly claimed that the old books have burned up in a fire. The other thing that happens is, and I suspect that Rogue has probably seen the same thing. I've seen it over and over again, is at state meetings, members of various chapters just go up and hand Doc checks. And I've seen for as much as $5,000 with the statement to use as the lobbyist sees fit, or to use however you wish to use it. I mean, his current contract with ABIC doesn't even have any performance standards in it. The lobbyist financial reports that Doc has, that any lobbyist in the state of Florida is supposed to file, Doc has failed to file for years.
How's he
and away? A number of people questioned him about it, and he just kept saying that he didn't have to, and then finally somebody called the Oversight Committee for Lobbyists and said, hey, isn't this dude supposed to be paying lobbyist fees? And they said, yeah, they looked at it, and they sent him a letter saying he has until such and such a date to submit all his filings, or he would, his license to lobby or registration, the ability to lobby, would be revoked. Now, in Florida, they have a loophole in the law for lobbyists. There's a financial fee for every day you're late filing, but if it's your first time getting caught, you're allowed to catch up. And on the last day, when Doc would have gone over their deadline, he sent all his filings in at one time. However, if you look at the filing papers, it really doesn't tell you anything, because it gives you ranges, like did you make $1,000 to $10,000 or $10,000 to $20,000, and you just click a box in either one of those things. So it really doesn't tell you much, and obviously the checks that he's handed, well, you know, I can't say anything about him. Were it me and somebody was handing me checks that I can cash, I don't know that I'm going to let the IRS know about that, you know?
Absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
We do know that Doc's fee is $50,000 a year as lobbyist.
Plus expenses.
Plus expenses?
Correct.
Then he can write all that stuff off.
Well, I thought it was 50. What had been told me was he got $50,000 a year as the lobbyist, okay, to spend whatever he wants. That was his salary. But he gets his expenses paid as president of ABIC Florida, but when he was on ABIC Florida business and not taking care of lobbying business, then the thing was, well, all the board members get expenses paid. So my
correct. And it gets really convoluted, because you also have to determine, okay, which expenses is he using as a lobbyist? Which expenses is he using as ABIC Florida president? And which expenses is he using as an officer of National Coalition of Motorcyclists?
Yeah,
and don't forget that legislative thing he belongs to either, that advisory thing in Washington.
I mean, this is really a convoluted thing, but he is so I guess when I first got suspicious, when a Senator Argenziano used to speak at all the Abate rallies, at the Freedom Rally they have in the spring, and then I learned later that she was had oversight on the lobbyist. And I just found that an interesting little tidbit, you know. Especially with them.
Bill, there must be good people in the Abate. I'm sure there's good Abate in Florida. Why are they putting up with this? Or do you think that the rank and file don't know what's going on? Or do you think that they don't care and therefore they deserve what they get?
Well, Bill, this guy runs around with three or four guys with him. His entourage, as we call it.
I don't know about the rank and file. There must be good people there. Are they asking any questions? You guys down
no,
the floor?
No, they're
Didn't most of them, like, drop out because they got fed up?
Good
because every time they accosted him with questions, he would come up against them with their goons. I mean, he tried to intimidate me, and I don't even live in Florida.
I've been confronted by him and his goons on at least three occasions. And I'm not even a member of Abate anymore. I mean, this is just a standard operating procedure. Mike may know from up in Wisconsin, or Rogue may know from past history. But if you go to a lot of these chapters, I know one chapter president who told me he's got 200 members in his chapter, but he's lucky if he can get 10 to do anything. The chapter in this area claims 100 members. At their last meeting, they had 8 show up, and only 2 of them were officers. So what you've got is big smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. Abate claims 7,500 members or somewhere around there in the state of Florida. But I also know of at least one case where they had a dead lifetime member they were counting. You can also become a dual member, which means you can be a member of 2 different chapters. And if you are, you get 2 master links, you get 2 Abate cards, and the word is you get counted twice as being a member. So it's big smoke and mirrors. Now, I have to ask, how is it the Evers and Lopez Cantera, who Doc even denied talking to, and Lopez Cantera, who wanted to seize the motorcycles, comes out and says he was working with Doc all along, you know? There's a connection there that we can't find.
Yeah, it's probably back pockets.
It sounds like somebody's holding the bag.
Does anybody in Florida feel that Abate is now really kind of a cover for a loosely knit motorcycle club, 1% club?
I wouldn't know that you would go as far as 1% club, but there are people.
Well, they're operating with threats and guns and.
What? Okay.
Sounds
now,
like shaky money too.
Well, you're talking. What happened with the thing here was a certain segment of people that rode motorcycles thought that Abate still stood for a brotherhood against totalitarian enactment and was actually for rights. Then you have another group that just joined for the parties. Same thing RC was saying is, you know, a chapter got X amount of people in it and a small portion of them would show up, you know, for the meetings, but have a party or have an event or a fundraiser or a ride, you know, you pull thousands of people, and a good part of them aren't even Abate members. So, again, they're using smoke and mirrors there. What has happened is in the chapter, and I am still a member, I'm a lifetime member, one of the founding members of Abate originally. People go, why don't I quit? Well, because I want to stay around and see, and I still have some hope that eventually enough people will, one or two things will happen, is enough people will see what's going on and change it, or they will do, I'd rather it didn't happen, but people are continuing, as they find out what's going on, is continuing to drop out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have whole chapters that have quit. We've got people that and the different chapters are not renewing. And one of the reasons that there were still some good numbers is as people would drop out, new people, new bodies would come in, and they'd join it so that they could put a patch on the back of their jacket, and they think they're in a club, mm-hmm. even though Doc and the Abate officer have made it clear that they are not a motorcycle club, and they do not have an MC on the back patch. That's done, so there is no problem with the real clubs. But, you know, if people join these things, hey, yeah, we're a motorcycle club. No, you're a motorcycle. Well, yeah, but that's what we do because we can be in a club. You know, once you really sit down and to talk to some of them at one of these functions and how they perceive what part of this organization they are, it gives, you know, and them guys, you know, I don't know a whole lot about politics, and that's what them guys do and whatever. We're here for the party. So now to start running these numbers. Now what's happening is a lot of people in these organizations are starting to find out about some of the things that have happened from different individuals and you know, where Doc or his security people would confront somebody. That the stories have been going on forever.
Can I
ask
you a question?
She said,
sure. Hey, this is Bill Kennedy. Is there a single person in Florida in Abate who's trying to stand up to Doc? Is there a chapter president somewhere that come next election is going to try to fight this? Or is there any grassroots organization? Is there underswell? Is there anything can be done down the road at all? Or is this all just doom and gloom?
Actually, Bill, let me take this. This is Mike. What they've done is they've completely shut down chapters that have stood up against him.
So, in other words, they pulled the patch.
Right.
Yeah, wow. Doc will shut a chapter down in a heartbeat. White Sands chapter printed his salary in their newsletter. As their president said, you know, our members have a right to know what they're paying for. And as soon as they did that, him and his a number of his boys rode hauled butt to Panama City with the intention to shut White Sands chapter down. What he didn't know was that Panhandle chapter and Big Ben chapter found out, and we rode there, and he changed his tune. But White Sands did eventually disband because after that, they were no longer given the floor at any state meeting.
Jan, are you on the call?
Yeah, hi, everybody. Very interesting conversation. That's why I'm not really jumping in. You know, I'm just totally aghast at what they're doing down there in Florida. And I heard someone, I'm not sure who, saying they're hanging in there. They're continuing to be a member, even though, you know, they're just holding out hope. And I'll tell you what, I hope for you. You know, and you know, I just keep up the hope. You've got to have it. And hopefully, I'm wondering if you can get anyone to run for president down there.
No, you can't. Okay, that's under the present structure. Okay, it's you have to be a member, a delegate, a member of the board for a specific period of time, attend a certain amount of meetings. And if they have people that are against any of their policy, you don't make it that far.
So let me understand this. What I think I'm hearing is there's a prospect process?
Well, you might want to call it that.
Unspoken. Yeah.
Unspoken. Yeah. Okay.
Let me jump in quick. Am I understanding that the people that know what's going on are getting frustrated and leaving? And Abate is growing because it's bringing new people in that are not aware of the situation? Or is that too much of a misconception?
Well, you're close, okay? The numbers are still going down, okay? At one time, Abate claimed that they had 1% of the registered motorcycles in Florida as members. That is down considerably now with their latest newsletter. The statement was prior to Daytona, we have 7,500 plus people that agree with whatever the statement was. So what had happened was, as these chapters drop, some new, you know, as people buy motorcycles, they go, oh, I'm going to join Harley Loaners group, I'm going to join this group. They want to be part of a camaraderie. Mm. And, you know, they think of Abate as a club more than a legislative thing. They'll join, and then after a year or so, you know, they go, oh, this is not what I really want, and they drop out. Now that the market is down and less people are buying new motorcycles, the numbers are continuing to drop. As more and more people find out, and we're going to have a certain amount of people that go, oh, we're really nice, you know, we're bikers, we do good for people, we do charity things and all the rest of that, you know, we're not like them guys you see in the movies. Well, now that they're finding out that some of the things that the president of this organization is accused of doing by them being associated with this organization, people think that maybe they are not really nice guys either. You know, so you're out there doing toy runs and doing all this to try to make people think that you're nice guys, and that's just a front because for whatever else that you're, you know, if you're condoning this with your officers, then if you're not fixing it, you're part of the problem.
Quick question. What do you think is going to happen with this latest request for Doc to resign?
I don't think it'll happen.
Really?
No. I think the people will get frustrated and probably resign or quit or stop the chapter.
I'm going to bring in one more caller real quick. And this is John Del Santo out of San Diego, and he's of Abate 6 and Bolt, and I'd like to get his opinion on this, if possible. Could you guys give him a minute?
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Kennedy. How we doing, buddy?
Good. Yes, small correction. I am a Bolt supporter, not a Bolt member.
Semantics.
Very large action.
I had a question for you, John, about the Abate regional rally here in California, May 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Right.
And my question to you was, there's a pool, there's a fun rides and all that, but is there going to be any type of discussions where people are going to come together, or is this a big thing, just a party atmosphere?
Now, after I spoke to you this morning, I called the guy who was listed on here as info, and I couldn't get him, but I can't find anything of a political nature, for instance, no speakers, no. It seems to be just a fun weekend thing. Okay, it's certainly not going to be like July 4th, which is there is a helmet law protest ride in the planning stages, and not any particular group that is doing it. It is members from all of the groups. It's a Bolt thing. It's an Abate thing. It's a independent.
So it's just like a meet and greet. Everybody have a good time. Bring the families.
We're on May 7, 8, 9?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right.
Trying to get a screwdriver down there, and he wants to hear some action. He wants to hear what's going on.
Well,
he's not the shaking hand type of a guy.
Actually, Bill, I'm going to be in Nashville on that weekend, so you're going to be on your own. So you get to speak on your own.
Well, no one's speaking anywhere.
Which you have no problem doing that. But
I would be glad to speak with
John. John, the reason I brought you in so soon was have you been listening to what we've been talking about Abate out of Florida?
No, I just got on. I mean, I've heard some of what's going on, but not on the show today. I just got on it.
Okay.
Well, John, let me ask you a question about that. These people are saying that there's a lot of problems with Abate in Florida. They have a state officer president, and they're having a lot of problems with him. John, is there any type of a national officer that they can go, not a national program they can go to, say, the people in Florida say, we don't think this is a good guy for us, we want to get this guy, I don't want to use the word impeached, that sounds too political, replaced, that's the word I want.
Actually, they asked for his resignation again.
But who's asking for it? Is there a national type of council or anything, John?
There is no national Abate.
Okay.
Each state has their own, and I'll tell you, if something like what is happening in Florida happened here, half of our members would be gone in 2 months, because our members over time get to know that this is not a party club, this is not a writing club, this is pure MRO, and we're here for the political end of it. Okay, well, I mean, I run my local, I give them as much political information and legal information as I can, and the members love it. You know, that's what they keep coming back for. If I started doing bullshit, you know, next month I'd have, you know, 50 people there, and then the following month 30, and, you know, if in Florida, if that's what they want, if that's what these people want, if they're like, hey, let's go for a ride and, you know, and have a beer and, you know, whatever, if that's what they want, then the guy will stay in office. But if that's not what they want, then they're going to leave. You know, it's like your wife, Bill. Hey, if your wife didn't like what you wanted, what you're doing, she'd be gone. And the bed isn't safe.
It's cheaper to keep her. The phone, honey. Hey. It's been you and me the whole time, baby girl. No lawyers necessary. So, John, what you saying?
This is RC here.
Go ahead.
I don't know what the situation is in California, but in Florida, what complicates the problem here is that the president of ABATE is also the paid lobbyist for ABATE, who spends a lot of time at the legislature and is has some fairly unique relationships with some of the senators and the representatives. And so there's a little glitch there that...
Well, isn't that mixing apples and oranges?
Philip?
Yes.
Phil, I wouldn't say that, because if that was the situation here, I don't think I'd feel real comfortable with it. I mean, we just had a situation where our lobbyist, who's been our lobbyist for years and years and years, just took over the job as part of our PAC group. Now, there's nothing really that he's going to do wrong in that position, but there were a couple of people that felt, hey, you know, isn't this mixing things? But if it was the president, I wouldn't feel real comfortable with it. You know, there's nothing legally you can do with it. And as far as the other thing that you were talking about when I came on, about people who they have to be an officer before they're the president, you know, I wouldn't go for that. You know, it's like in a ABATE of California, somebody can join the ABATE, and then, you know, 3 days later, if they want to be the president of Local 6, they can run for election if it's the election time, which is how it should be. Hey, you don't have to be a congressman before you're the president of the United States.
Well, what I understand in the last couple of weeks that I've been getting involved in the chats and stuff and listening is that these guys are just switching chairs when it's election time. Is that true?
No. Not really. Okay, they have a structure in place, okay, that they put into the bylaws that you have to be up through the ranks. You just, they can, a member from the rank and file cannot run for state office.
My feelings on that is that the rank and file, then, if there's enough of them that are happy with it, can call to have the bylaws changed.
Oh, but then they get intimidated.
It's not that easy to have the bylaws changed under the structure, the only way that it is done by the structure that they have is there's two delegates from each chapter. The delegates have to bring it up for a vote at a state meeting, okay? It never gets past getting brought up. They get yelled at, shut down, whatever, security takes them outside.
And it wouldn't matter if you had this is RC again. In our situation, it wouldn't matter if you had the bylaws changed, because in one statement, or in one state meeting, I stood up and pointed out where they were violating the bylaws plus Robert's Rules of Order, which by the bylaws they're supposed to go by, and I was shut down by the sergeant of arms, and when I left the state meeting, I was cornered by two members and said, Robert Rules of Order don't mean anything. You need to learn to do things the Abate way.
Wow.
Now, J.R., this...
That intimidation, Betsy here.
Yeah, there's no...
Is there limitations on being president, or can he be it for life?
Well, in California...
Year after year?
Right, there's no term.
No term.
I tell you, this is John. You know, from what you're describing, if I was in that group in Florida and I didn't like what I, if, you know, if I, what the hell is going on here? You know, they're telling me what I have to do. You know, I'm out of there.
Well, that seems to be the choice right now. People are doing that. Abate is still trying to convince people that their numbers are up, similar to what RC was saying. As more people... Now, of course, if all you see is the Abate newsletter, their version of what's happening, and for a long time, myself and others let a lot of things go by, hoping that we were going to be able to change things internally, and not trying to hurt Abate in the process. But at some point in time, it gets so bad that you have to speak out outside the organization, and we've started to do that with motorcycle publications in the state, internet shows in and out of the state, national magazines.
Well,
so that,
I'm here to tell you, I've sent three emails to ask them, come on, give your side of the story. The first one I received, that it said I could kiss his ass.
That's the general attitude that he has, okay? And so what I'm saying is at this point in time, the only thing to do is let all the people that are members of the organization know what he's doing, okay? Now, there's going to be a bunch that agree, which is their right, you know? I mean, I'm not telling people what to do other than if you agree, you stay. If you don't agree, you leave. Okay? And if you're staying, then you're condoning whatever's going on. But don't be running around then and telling the rest of the world what nice people you are.
Rogue, this is our this is Jan.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say Rogue, this is RC. No, Rogue, this is Jan. hey, good to hear from you, by the way. Yeah, I want to make a point also that, you know, what happens in one state does tend to affect other states.
Absolutely.
And so this is important to everybody, regardless of what state we are in.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's very true, because whatever happens to you on the East Coast could happen to us on the West Coast tomorrow, vice versa.
Right.
You know, they do get together at things like the meeting of the minds, etc., and they discuss their philosophies. They get together and they figure out how they can apply for grants. You know, I mean, there are special committees that they all go into these separate rooms. You know, one might be Southeast region, while one might be discussing how to apply for grants for safety funds that will turn into motorcycle only checkpoints, you know, things like that. So what happens in one state does affect us all.
Well, and there are a lot of different states that have state chapters that are still looking out for the motorcycle people. My opinion is that Abate of Florida is looking for money, and if you take money from the government, then they bought you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you take safety grants and you change the organization structure from fighting for rights and taking let those who ride decide means everybody that rides decides. It does not mean a small group of 7,500 decides for the rest of the state. Okay? That's... And with this number now, you have an organization that is less, well less, than 1% of the people that ride motorcycles in Florida trying to convince the Florida legislature that they speak for the motorcycle riders of Florida. Luckily, there are some other organizations that have lobbyists up there, like the Dealers Association and the Motorcycle Safety Council and some others, you know, and not all of them agree with Doc. But if it's one of these things that they see, okay, here's money coming in for one of their safety programs, and even though they actually forced motorcycle people in Florida to take motorcycle rider education in 2008. They made
it. They're trying to do that here, Rogue, as well.
Of course, because, see, now here's what happened, is when this thing came up, they made it mandatory. The schools, okay, the thing that's happening, and I am a past Motorcycle Safety Foundation instructor, but when I seen the way it went years ago, you know, when I taught, and the guys, we all volunteered. Now it's people making money.
Right.
Now what they did, besides adding money to the licensing fee, they actually shut down the facilities at every motor vehicle department in the state. So you cannot go to one of these things. My kids and grandkids all ride, okay? The ones that are too young to have a license now, when they're old enough, they can go, they'll be able to pass whatever test, okay? They're going to have to pay $300, or who knows what it's going to be by then, to go get a motorcycle endorsement. The money that the state saved, okay, on shutting down the pieces of property, like where I live, it's out in the country a little bit, so the piece of property is not worth, say, what the piece of property in Miami would be worth. So the state saw that they were saving money. As a matter of fact, into the local, my local newspaper today had a big article about how people were upset that the state of Florida raised all kinds of fees last year for registrations and licensing and all the rest of it, and the services went down. Okay, so what they're looking to do is balance their budget off people driving, because they know people have to drive.
Right.
This is Bill Kennedy. Is there a single chapter in a bait in a Florida, excuse me, that is standing out as a voice against Doc, or is there just like a small brush fires here and there? Is there a single voice crawling out in the wilderness, or again, is it just brush fires?
No, it's multiple organizations, okay, and the one that I belong to, a couple of the delegates went up, and, you know, they get frustrated. They go up there. You've had chapters resign, quit, whatever. You have more doing it. So it's not just a small group. It's a growing group that's just saying, you know, we tried. Everybody's trying a different approach. And they're going like, you know, it's sort of like a South American dictatorship, you know, and now you're calling for elections to go, yeah, okay, yeah, don't worry, I'll count the votes, you know, it's sometime you get to a point where it might be easier to start a new organization than fix the old one, and there is talk about that being done, as a matter of fact.
Yes, there is. Hey, it's not too far-fetched to think about, you know, and, you know, in this day and age, our ability to communicate just astounds people. Just ask Bill Kennedy. Bill, what do you think?
I'm thinking, is it easier to fix the existing problem rather than try to start another whole program? Because the bait's pretty nationwide. It's well-established and all that. And do we think it's better to keep fighting to get this thing fixed or start another whole program? I'm not sure if that's a lot of work, a lot of time. Can we just fix the problem?
Yep. Well, Bill, the thing is that they are not united nationally. In fact, you know, when you go from state to state, one might be a brotherhood against totalitarian enactments, while another one is American bikers aiming toward education.
Right.
And, you know, you also have to look at the situation in terms of what's going on with the Confederation of Clubs in each state. You know, how many motorcycle clubs are there actually affiliated with NCOM and AIM? And how are you going to compete when they say, well, we'll give you free legal services?
And keep in mind that the person we're discussing happens to hold office with NCOM.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just a Florida issue. This is going to become a national issue.
Yeah. So, Phil, this is Betsy. So I'm thinking that it's probably, as Jan was saying, easier, and Rogue was saying, easier to just start a whole new organization and try to veer people away from the old.
Well, if you're looking at what's going on in the country, you know, we've had a Republican and a Democratic Party forever. So if you say that AMA is one party and a Beta is another party, well, now you've got, because these two have done made people unhappy, and I may be messing up the words, but if you say libertarian or something else, so a third party's coming in to catch the people that don't want to go into either one of these groups, and they're sort of going, well, I want to do something,
right,
but I don't really, you know, AMA is a little straight for me, you know, and the bait, man, they got good parties, you know, so I want to go to them. And then you got the guy that's in the middle that really wants to fight the laws, so these organizations aren't giving him what he wants. If there's enough of those people, look at it as a support to the other two, okay? It was the same kind of thing when they start the Motorcycle Riders Foundation. No, everybody said, oh, we don't need that. You know, we don't need that up there in Washington. Well, after a while, whether you agree with them or not, that's another voice.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, now, we're never going to have everybody agree all the time anyways, so people of like mind can join any organization they want. It's going to take a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a slow kind of thing. It may go quicker. I don't agree with a lot of Doc's policies, and I'm not against calling my legislator. And luckily, I have a lot of journalistic connections, and I write for numerous publications. So if I got something to say, I just write it. And if anybody disagrees with me, they have the option to write one of my editors and go, hey, I don't like what he said. Here's my version. Just like Phil said earlier, where he invited Doc. If Doc does not agree with these conversations, or people in the Beta Florida don't agree, why don't you call up, okay, and give your version of what's going on? And then we'll have.
Because he doesn't have the balls, that's why.
Well,
right.
Well.
It's just easier for him to say, kiss my ass. You know, because he feels like he's above everybody else. He doesn't.
Well, no. He does that too, but it's because he knows that if he got in here and people asked him pertinent questions, the ones that he's been avoiding all these years, where's the beef? Like in money?
Yeah.
Where'd this go? Did you, in fact, accost somebody? Did you put your hands on somebody? You know, these kind of things that he does not want to air or wash his laundry in public. Well, that they were getting away with that for a long time. Now it's out in the open, and he's getting really upset because as more and more people find out about it, okay, they're getting upset. Now, the problem is some of the things that he's doing here, and like the mandatory schooling, okay, I have no problem with schooling for anybody that wants it, and there's a lot of people that should go get it. But they have the right to make that decision.
Mm.
Okay? If you think that you can pass the test at the motor vehicle department, you go right down there with your motorcycle and try it. If you don't pass the test, then you got, I need to go practice or I need to go to school. Okay? Now, once that happens, and two things happen. One is the organizations teaching the schools, okay? And right now, the local Harley dealers do it, too, at the tune of $300 a whack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're all happy. Everybody's making money to teach them how to ride motorcycles. The state is happy because they don't have to do no testing, whatever, okay? You walk in there, you know, hand them a piece of paper, and they give you a motorcycle endorsement. So it's money, 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 okay?
Can I weigh in on that? Because I heard it mentioned the last show, and it was late, and I didn't want to call in. But I called the head of the rider programs here in the state of Florida, and I asked him if he could direct me to any peer-reviewed research that shows that the MSF curriculum, which Florida uses, has been proven to be effective. And he says, no, he can't.
You're right.
So what we're doing is we're forcing people to spend money on something that has not been proven to be effective.
You're right.
This is feel-good legislation by the state, as Rogue says. This makes all the citizens happy, and it gets expenses off the state, and it puts an ungodly amount of money into people's pockets who are teaching something that they have no idea whether or not it does any good.
You're right. And, you know, and I'm sure, as I said, I was real lucky. I got to go to the Institute of Police Traffic Management to do mine. Now, I had just come out of the club, and the rest of that, and all these boys knew who I was. And I had big fun at this school. But I became certified, okay? And we went on to teach, and everybody realized that was okay. We're going to make it available. The only thing that people, when this thing first started, the import motorcycle companies would donate motorcycles. The instructors would donate their time. The students paid for written material and whatever it cost for insurance. The one we did was on a local community college, so they got an insurance thing. We're talking like $12 or $18 or something. Now, all of a sudden, it goes, you know, okay, there's inflation, but it still ain't that much. It goes from $18 to $300 because all these instructors are getting paid now.
That's right.
See, and now they're looking like, you know, we're not just supplementing our, well, you know, I make $30 at my other job, so this is like time and a half. I don't know what they get paid nowadays, but, you know, it's got to be a nice piece of change.
And if you own a business, how much clientele do you think that you're going to get if the reputation on the street is you're tough and are going to fail people?
Oh, yeah, you're not going to.
Yeah, forget it.
Now, I'll tell you, you know, now just look at this scenario. You walk into the local motorcycle dealer that's putting on one of these and go, I want to buy that motorcycle, you know. $20,000, huh? Okay. But I don't have a driver's license. I don't have motorcycle license. Oh, you have a school here? Well, look, I'm a businessman, you know. I can't really afford to take time off from school. Oh, you got to go to school. Well, can I just pay for the course? And you sort of, you know, we'll go out in the parking lot. I'll show you I know how to ride. Oh, no, that's never going to happen. Well, guess what? 2 years ago, and RC might remember this, over in Orlando, the school I was teaching people how to drive 18-wheelers got caught for doing the exact same thing. So, you know, is there the potential for corruption? Of course there is.
Yeah,
absolutely. It all comes down to the dollar.
Is somebody going to stick $300 in their pocket so they can make a $20,000 sale? There are some people that will. Granted, not everybody, but there are some. Okay? Now, this guy walked his happy ass down a motor vehicle and hands some dude that works for the state a piece of paper. And this guy here, on the word of somebody else, issues a driver's license. Shaky.
Well, they just caught somebody here in Massachusetts issuing bogus driver's licenses to people.
Just surprised.
Hey, 3 blocks from my house. You can buy them from whatever state you want.
Yeah. So it's going on, you know, so just a God almighty dollar and how to get more. And as I said earlier, people look at motorcycle riders as being rich and affluent, and, you know, because they can still consider them recreational vehicles, okay? And, you know, they look at all the stuff that's going on, and they just assume, and we know what that means,
mm-hmm.
everybody got a ton of money, you know, and we're going to keep, you know, keep taking water from this well, taking water from this well. And then somebody goes, I want to get in on this. Just give me my PC, okay? I'll show you how to do this. When we teach people how to get grants, you really got $1 million? Let me tell you how I did it, buddy. So this guy tries it over here. This guy tries it over here. Now we have organizations that profess to be a motorcycle rights organization or, in fact, a motorcycle safety organization and or, in some cases, a front for the government. I mean, you just took money from the government, so that means you're working for the government.
Hey, when you brought up that subject about PCs, let me tell you something I got today. My name is Ahmed. I live in Iran. I live in a destitute country. Could you please help me?
All right.
Hey,
what do you want me to
add on?
Only you, Philip, only you.
let me add on to what...
When we got one in Washington.
Let me add on to what Rogue was just saying about the motorcycle safety instructors getting, you know, sometimes they're getting good money, I think. Now,
depends.
I heard, you know, there's like community colleges in North Carolina that are set up in order to teach, you know, the motorcycle safety instruction and the training, et cetera. And when their classes are filled or when they don't have any classes and someone calls the community college and they get routed over to this particular person who happens to be one of those motorcycle safety instructors, the motorcycle safety instructor says, well, we don't have any available classes, but what I can do is I'm moonlighting and on the side I can set aside an hour and a half Saturday afternoon. It'll cost you a little bit more. How much more? Oh, $250. So, I mean, for an hour and a half, no wonder they want to keep this happening. No wonder they want mandatory training, et cetera.
So now, Jan, I have to ask a question. How can the state of Pennsylvania give away free safety classes at the community colleges?
Well, see, now I think that's wonderful, and yeah, let's model that in the other states, and like Rogue was saying, for those who want it, not for everybody.
It.
Yeah, I mean down in the Florida Keys. I guess that there was somebody who wanted to get his motorcycle endorsement, and he found out that he had to go all the way up past the homestead area, in between Homestead and whatever
Miami,
and that was the closest place that he could go to get this training. And that it was like 3 days, and he'd have to stay overnight. So by the time he's done, it's going to end up costing like $800, $900 just to get this endorsement.
Jan, this is Bill.
Jan, you're right.
I own a
motorcycle
shop in San Diego, and I'm unlike other motorcycle shops. I sell bikes on a how-I-feel basis. And if I feel that you're not ready for this Harley-Davidson, you have no experience whatsoever, I encourage people to go down and buy yourself a Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, Harley lookalike bike. Come back and visit me in 6 months to a year, and I'll help you get the right Harley. I'll get the right handlebars, the right seat, and the right foot pegs. I will communicate with you during the course of the year. I'll be your friend. If I don't feel it's right, I will not sell you a motorcycle. Some cases, people leave me, go right up to the authorized dealership, which will sell anybody, anything. They come back and visit me a week, a day. The shortest was a day later, they've crashed the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Because they put them on a vehicle they weren't experienced on. I'm not filthy rich. I'm comfortable with my life. I make that decision. I'll talk to people, give them advice. Get a learner bike. Stay communication with.
Good for
come
you.
Back. I will sell you a Harley, but I'm not going to sell you one today. I make some friends. I make some enemies, but I sleep good at night, guys.
There you go.
And I can tell you, I've stood there and watched that happen.
In Massachusetts, you have to have a motorcycle license or a permit to even walk into a dealership and purchase one. Or at least it used to be that way 2 years ago.
Betsy, do you need to have a driver's license to buy a car there?
Yes, and you have to show that you live in the state, too. We're
now,
different.
I don't know that that's the case in Florida. I know that you need a motorcycle endorsement to buy a motorcycle, but I don't think you need a car license to buy
a car.
You don't.
But the question for me becomes, I mean, it seems that we've gone for, we've been addressing an awful lot of issues here, some that cross state boundaries and some that don't. But I wonder if we are not missing the larger issue, and that is, where is it and when was it that legislators and government learned that they can screw over motorcyclists whenever they want to, however they want to? You know, they can steal your safety trust money even though the law says they can't.
Right.
And how is it that they have learned that they can do this?
Because
I can tell you, I can answer that question.
Then won't sue. But in Massachusetts, we're suing for all the safety funds took from us.
I can answer that question. If you remember back in the 70s when the federal government was trying their blackmail threat about withholding highway funds, well, what we did was had helmet rallies or helmet protests, okay? And they were really big parties, and we'd just ride to the Capitol. And this spread like wildfire throughout the Northeast and then to other places. It got to the point that we lobbied the legislature, got a bill through the House, got a bill through the Senate, and my governor wanted to sign it, but she was afraid to sign it for loss of highway funds. My congressman happened to ride a Triumph, and he got us a hearing in Washington. People from all over the country, MMA, AMA, different people that weren't in motorcycle rights organization but were involved in motorcycle, went to Washington, and we convinced that committee that there was in fact blackmail or extortion. When they got away with that, the helmet law all fell down. Then sometime later, the organizations that were doing these protests and whatever would come in and tell a politician, I will make a deal with you. I will see that there is not no motorcycle protests if you will work with me. So now they get in bed together and they become buddies. So now the only thing that, if you look at the civil rights movement, what happened with the black people of color, okay? And now I have people go, well, I don't want to get arrested, okay? Let's look at what happened with these people. They got arrested. They got beat up. They did that, okay? Let me tell you, a bunch of that stuff went back on in the 70s, too. When we were doing this, the same kind of thing happened, okay, all over the country. Now we got people go, well, you know, I don't want to upset the police officer. You know, I don't want to violate no law. If you want to be an outlaw, come to the bar with five of your buddies on Friday night and be a badass, but on Monday you want to be something totally different, okay? You're not going to get none of this unless you stand up, okay? And if you're going to let somebody else go up there and control you, and whether it's true or not, if they can convince the legislature that they will control you from going out there and getting on Saturday night or Friday night news at 6 o'clock doing something, okay, this guy got him. And then what happens is sooner or later, they figure a way to dupe this guy a little side money. It's all over after that. People need to get balls back and go out. and see what's happening, okay? Go have a freedom rally, okay, with motorcycle people. Go to your capital. Go to these places, okay? We did things down here with legislators that voted the wrong way. Every time these guys would come out to speak, we'd be there and go, you're upset about this because your daddy was drunk when he fell off the back of a motorcycle, see? Your daddy's a drunk, okay? But not a guy gets all upset because we're telling all these people he comes from a family of drunks and use those words, okay? And it was funny. It really was. But guess what happened? The guy lost, okay? And now, 10 years later, every time he tries to run, one of us will remind somebody, remember this guy, okay? He don't even get past the word thinking about it. And that's what it takes to do this.
I am just laughing like crazy, big smiles across my face. You know, I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. The thing is and check this out. We put fun back in freedom rides.
Mm-hmm.
And people will go to them.
Right. Yep.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean, one of my favorite memories, I mean, I've been riding motorcycles all my life, but one of my favorite memories is circling the legislative building and having all the lobbyist car alarms go off all at the same time.
Yeah.
And then having the state capitol police running after us like cats and jammers kids.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, make it fun.
We do a ride here where we storm the state house, and because it's a permitted ride, we can ride lidless. And we go into Boston, and we park on the Boston Common, and we go through the halls in our leather. We drive them crazy when we walk in there with all the pins and the metal going through the metal detectors. And yet, it's fabulous because we walk right in there, big and bold, and hand each legislator our agenda, you know. And it's only done once a year, unfortunately, the third Thursday in May. It should be done a lot more often. But that's one of my favorite rides, Jan.
Good.
Hey, guys.
I love it. You know, Rogue, you know, if anybody doesn't know that much about Rogue, he's got a website that has old stories from Connecticut back in the 60s. They're riding down the turnpike, et cetera, and the cops. The cops stopping them all, and it was just amazing.
It's the same thing that the guys were doing out there with the cops being stupid. I actually had a state trooper tell me one day. He goes, you know, you're making us look stupid. And I said, no, sir, I'm just
you're
giving you the tools.
Look stupid.
I'm just giving you the tools. You're doing it yourself. And we would turn all of this around, and people were actually, we would have a flatbed truck with us, and you're going to tow a motorcycle, take somebody to jail. Now we're going to tow your motorcycle. We have our own tow truck, sir, you know. So we had answers for all of this. And so you're going to arrest somebody and take them to jail. Fine, you know.
Rogue.
So you're taking six of us to jail, and the bondsman's waiting for us. Yes, sir.
Rogue.
Yes, sir.
Back in the day, how many other motorcycle organizations could you name?
Oh, not many.
Yeah, a few. You know, we had back then it was like Connecticut Motorcycle Rights, Pennsylvania Motorcycle Rights. My good friend Smitty, who happened to be living right down the road from me now, started Pennsylvania. And, you know, we were looking for the programs back then, and they were one of them people that started this.
I'm referring to groups like Chrome Divas, Dixie Riders, you know, all these touchy-feel-good groups that are throwing charity runs, walking all over each other to give the money to somebody besides bikers that want to have absolutely nothing to do with fighting for rights when what they're doing is much safer. And I bring this up because I remember back in you know, in my early days of writing, I didn't have people try and tailgate me. I don't remember people trying to run me off the road. What I remember is people staying as far the hell away from me as they possibly could.
Absolutely.
Now they aim for your ass.
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, okay, you know, that was when they would roll up the windows and do all the rest of that.
Yeah.
And then
right.
And now comes a group that wants to convince people, okay, how nice we are. You meet the nicest people on a Honda, you know, and Harley Davidson for sales and the rest of that, you know. Hey, we're bros, man. We're our buddies, you know. We got this guy that looks like... he's into movies, like some kind of thing, but he's really a lawyer, and you know
oh,
how
thank
we
you
can
for
trust.
The compliment.
Yeah. and I have some good lawyer friends, by the way, too, but it was the kind of thing, you know, lawyers and doctors and Indian chiefs, you know, and they're going, So we're going to change this whole image, okay, and how do we change this image? By money, okay, or we do, you know, my Aunt Susie, or, you know, as much as I, you know, I like Willie and John Davidson and the rest of them, and they, you know, there's a reason that they raise money for muscular dystrophy because of family member, you know. And then we'll have one of these other groups, well, the motorcycle will help me do this, and that's fine. But, you know, they're out there, and they get on the bandwagon, or the guy that buys a motorcycle, so that he got a restaurant. So you should come to my restaurant to eat because I ride a motorcycle. I don't think so, you know. And if that's what people want to do, fine. But that's not what I want to do, okay?
You know,
I mean,
Rogue, now that you mention that, you know, last week we talked about phony veterans, the ones that stand out in front of the stores and stuff. And after a little research, 15% of the money, say they collect $400 to $500 a day. Per guy, 15% of that $400 to $500 only goes to the group, the veteran
yeah.
group, whatever they're supporting. The rest goes to expenses.
Yeah.
Professional fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. It seems to me, I want to bring this to Bill. I want to jump this in there. It seems to me we bikers are so dysfunctional that every time we get an organization, it somehow it just becomes rotten.
Well, you
maybe
know,
that's what's going on in Florida now. We're allowing this guy to be who this guy is, when in reality, there's so many people in Florida, he's only one guy, he got to go.
You know,
pretty basic to me.
You know, Bill, that's like Sonny said years ago. We're so goddamn democratic, we can't vote on anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
what I'd like to do, guys, is we only got a few minutes left. I'd like Betsy had one of the reasons that she called tonight was she wanted to talk about something concerning a specialist farmer.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Betsy, that
yeah.
package was mailed the other day.
Awesome.
So
thank
should,
you, guys.
It should have gotten there by now. And
cool.
Giving
He's
us an update on farmer,
days.
And then I want to jump into something else right after that.
Okay. PFC Farmer, I want to thank you guys for allowing me to bring this to the forefront. He'll be home in 17 days. And I spoke with Bill Lockhart, and he does want to come in under the radar because he doesn't know what he's coming home to. However, they are going to do a parade and speak to the mayor and get a citation, the whole nine yards for him.
So you took our advice on that one, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I did give you guys credit for that, for bringing that up. So that was awesome. They have reached the $10,000 mark. They did have a motorcycle ride a couple of weeks ago. They've gotten him a truck, scuba gear, clothing, furniture. So at least when he comes home, plus the money and all the T-shirts and anyone who wants the link, you know, write me and I'll give you more information and the link to the T-shirt wall, et cetera. And... you know, it's just a wonderful thing that he'll be able to come home and be able to put his life back together after those scumbags ripped him off and took everything.
Betsy, Bill Kennedy, I want you to know I had a little surprise today. A gentleman helped me. Remember, I was trying to get some information, and I called up and spoke to these people?
Yeah.
One of them came in my shop today.
Really?
When the gentleman was coming home, blah, 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 blah. And I found out this gentleman was a veteran also.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he hopes that the guy comes back and safe and sound, and he says he was glad he could help us. I don't want to use their names again and all that again, but he said he was glad he was able to help us. That meant an awful lot to me.
And you happened to mention that earlier, and thanks for doing that.
Who, me?
Yeah. You put the cat out of the bag when you first called in. But
That's
okay.
The least I can do, you know.
And then the other thing I was going to say is, like, I let everybody know that Bill and I are going to have a Paralyzed Vets run in Oceanside on the 11th. It's going to start from Chula Vista, California, and drive up to Oceanside. It's about a 40-mile trip on the freeway or on the coast, depending which way they go, but it's a beautiful ride. We're going to be there partying in the street. We're going to have a raffle. I sold some tickets for some nice laminated prints from Larry out of GreenCorpTributeBike.com. But I want you guys, I know I've only got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to play a song. This song is dedicated to Doc. I want everybody that's on the call to please stay on and listen to this song, because this has the express words that I feel I should send to Doc since he told me to kiss his ass.
Hang on, I don't want you to lose it. What are we doing the week right after the Paralyzed Veteran Run? What are we doing? Throw it in. I want to know.
Then we have the traveling wall coming into Oceanside. It will be here from the 14th through the 18th, which on the 17th is a Saturday. We're going to have the mayor, everybody, the news media, everybody there to cover this. We're also going to raffle off.
You and I are speaking right after the mayor.
That's true.
Right,
and we're going to have another laminated print that Larry sent us from MarineCorpsTributeBike.com. If you go on there, it's a beautiful bike. There's a story. It's a very moving story. And, just take a look. And if we can help out in any way, please send us an email. You're more than welcome to come back anytime. If you have a particular topic you want to talk to, please call me or email me. My number is up on the blog. And I'm going to play this song right now, and this is dedicated to Doc. And I want you guys, please, just listen. Listen, and if you have a comment, send me an email afterwards. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
Hold on, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, we're almost ready anyway. Anybody got virgin ears may want to shut off at this time.
Please. No virgin ears here.
I don't know. I'm sure some of you ladies, you look like you just came out of the convent.
That would be me you're talking about.
I didn't say the closet. I said the convent.
Oh.
Well, I think we're having a little difficulty here with this one. But the name of the song... it's by a guy named Biker Joe Warren, and the name of the song is called Fuck You.
Oh, I love it.
Whoever finds this stuff, I have no idea, but he's a plethora of information, believe me, guys.
So what we're going to do, better yet, here's another one.
It's a good song, though. This is as messed up as the first one is.
I know.
Give me that hammer. I'll hit this computer harder. Well, I guess I'll have to sing a little bit. Any requests tonight?
Yeah, how about singing
here?
Far, Far Away.
Again, I want to thank everybody for getting involved. Only if we know what's going on in your state can we find out what's going on. Only can we share what's going on in our state. Remember, everybody, Screwdriver and I are not lawyers. We're not paralegals. We're just two guys standing up for our rights in our state. As I know so many of you people listening tonight are standing up in your state.
You know what, Bill?
What?
I think we'll get the song next week because there's a little bit. But what it is, guys? It's a song by a guy named Biker Joe Warren. We'll
put it on.
Yeah, the name of the song is called Fuck You.
If your mama's in the room, have her leave the room.
That's true. But what I'd like to tell all you guys is I appreciate everybody calling in. I appreciate the support we're getting. And if you have a friend or a couple of friends, or if you don't have any friends, tell somebody to tune in.
And please continue to disagree with us. Only by finding out your side of the story would I be willing to change. We thank you for talking. We thank you for disagreeing with us.
Thank you for having us.
We thank you for being you guys.
Okay, better good night, guys.
All right, good night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Bye.